The scripture reading reminds us of that inheritance that we have that is waiting for us. As we journey here and as we walk by faith, we are longing for heaven. And I want to talk about that journey that we are taking towards heaven and talk about the faith that is necessary in order for us to get there, how to have an enduring faith. Before we get started with our study, there are a couple of things that I wanted to remind you of or perhaps bring to your attention. We don't offer the community carnal things here at the Knollwood Church of Christ. What we offer is the Word of God. But from time to time, we have special events or special days, special things that we want to invite people to come to. And that's going to be true of this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday in the 11 o'clock hour, I plan to preach on a sermon, Why You Need God in Your Life. It is a sermon particularly for those that are around about us who have that moment of awakening in their life in which they realize that they need God in their life. So maybe you know someone like that. Maybe there's someone like that in your family, someone like that that you know at school, someone like that that you work with, a neighbor. Next Sunday, invite them to come next Sunday, and we're going to talk about why we need God in our lives. And I've chosen this image of a missing puzzle piece, and I've used it the last few weeks to advertise and to talk about this coming sermon. We're going to use that next week. We're going to talk about that piece that is missing in our lives that only God can fill. So let's be inviting people to come and to join us with that study this next Sunday. Now, a month from now, 4 weeks from now, our gospel meeting is starting. Brother Josh McKibben from the Nashville, Tennessee area is going to be with us. He's going to be preaching a gospel meeting on the theme of the people of God, taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. And we have the topics that he has announced. We have, starting today, we have flyers and cards available. And those were on the table in the foyer that is facing the road. We've got flyers available. If you would like to take those and use those, we also have the postcards that have been printed. If you'd like to take these and mail these out, hand these out, let's make use of all of them. Brother McKibben is doing his part. There's already a lot of work that has been put forth on his end and on our end with this gospel meeting. Let's make it a success. Now is the time for us to be busy. Now is the time for us to be busy praying for this meeting. Now's the time for us to be busy clearing our schedule to support it with faithful attendance. Now is the time especially to be busy inviting people to come and to hear the gospel for this week that is coming up. So let's make use of these flyers and these postcards. Let's do our part. Let's do the work that is necessary to have a good, successful gospel meeting coming up in just 4 short weeks. So let's do our work now. I want to talk about how to have an enduring faith. One of the reasons we serve God today is because of our hope in heaven, but it is a hope that is yet to be realized. We live by faith, we walk by faith, longing for heaven. Now, the devil is doing the best he can to shipwreck our faith and to cause us to forfeit our home in heaven. And here in this life, we are faced with trials, with temptations, with struggles, and with doubts. And if we're going to make it to heaven, we have to have an enduring faith. Now, the Hebrew writer was addressing this very problem all throughout the book of Hebrews. But I want you to notice, he starts talking about an enduring faith in Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Brethren, if we're going to receive the promise, if we're going to continue living by faith, if we're going to believe and not draw back, we have to have an enduring faith. One of the most important things that we can do is to develop steadfastness, to develop the determination and the ability to stay on the straight and difficult path that leads us to our heavenly home. We have to have an enduring faith. Now, after telling us of our need for an enduring faith, the Hebrew writer gives us a whole chapter full of examples of people who had enduring faith. We read about people like Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses. And so we know that it can be done, and we have this great chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us example after example of proof that it can be done. But the question is how? We know that we need enduring faith. We know it can be done, but how do we get enduring faith? How do we develop enduring faith? And that's what we're going to look at today. Our study today is going to come from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And in these two verses, there are six things that I see in these two verses that we need to give our attention to, six things that will help us to develop an enduring faith, the kind of faith that we need if heaven is going to be our home. So let's work our way through these verses, section by section, or point by point, and let's look at what the Holy Spirit has for us to learn. Number one, if we want to develop an enduring faith, a faith that's going to see us through to heaven, we have to look to others for encouragement. The writer begins, chapter 12 and at verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Therefore always ties back with what has been said previously. This therefore ties back to chapter 11 in its entirety. We've got this whole chapter full of these saints who had an enduring faith. They did it. Now we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. The figure here is that of running a race. And the idea is that these faithful saints of old, they have already run their leg of the race. They've run their leg of the race. They have handed the baton on to the runner in front of them, and they have now gone to the stands. And it is in the stands that from there they cheer on the next leg of the race. They cheer on those who are running after them. And so we have this great cloud of witnesses. We have this Colosseum that is filled full of these great servants of old, servants of God of old, who did it. They did it. They ran the race. And they set the example for us to follow. The New Testament calls upon us to follow their example, to learn from their example. Romans chapter 15 and at verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." See, as we go back in those Old Testament Scriptures and we read about Noah and we read about Abraham and Moses, that gives us hope, that gives us encouragement, that gives us an example to follow. They did it. Here's how they did it. We can do the same thing. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to remind you that you have an incredible heritage of enduring faith. Not only do we have it in the Old and New Testament, but many of us have known Christians from recent generations who have fought battles and have won. They have persevered and they have finished their race. And as we think about them and think about their faithfulness, that encourages us. But now, the baton has been handed to us, and it's our turn to run. It's our leg of the race. And so we run with their memory cheering us on. But we also run knowing that the next generation is watching us. The next generation is watching us to see how we run. Are we showing them how to have an enduring faith? So we look to others for encouragement, not just those of old, But we also look to our contemporaries. We look to those who are running the race with us. In the book of 1 Peter, at chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We're running this race together. We're in it together. When I was putting this PowerPoint together yesterday, the first image that I put up to use was a silhouette of a single runner. And I thought, you know, that's good, but that's just not going to do. Because we're not running this race alone. We're running it together. And we need to be looking toward one another. Yes, your faith is a very personal matter. My faith is a very personal matter. And you want yours, and I want mine to be an enduring faith. But we need each other with that. We're not running this race alone. So how do we develop an enduring faith? The first thing the Holy Spirit tells us here in this text is that we need to look to others for encouragement. So let's be looking to others to encourage us as we run and develop this faith. Secondly, the Holy Spirit tells us to lay aside every weight. Again, if we're using the figure of running, I understand that those who train to run sometimes will train with weights. Maybe it's ankle weights. Maybe it's a jacket that is weighted down. And they will train with weights. But when it's time to actually run the race, those weights are taken off. Those weights are removed. Everything that could possibly slow them down is removed so that they can run with endurance the race that is set before them. Likewise, there are things that can hinder us in our spiritual race. There are things that can get in our way. There are things that can slow us down. And what the Holy Spirit says is, if you want that endurance, if you want to see it through to the end, you've got to get rid of those things. You've got to take those things off. Now, some of these things that hinder us may be sinful habits. They may be sinful habits that we have. And if that's the case, the Bible solution is very simple. Repent. Repent of that sin. Whatever it is, you turn away from it. You let go of it. You repent of it. You seek God's forgiveness. But there are many things that can hinder us, that can slow us down, that aren't sinful in and of themselves. But if they get in the way of our serving the Lord, if these things cause us to move the Lord to second place in our lives, then that's a hindrance. That's a hindrance. That's a weight that has to be removed. Maybe it's our hobby. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's our family or our friends. Maybe it's a civic responsibility that we've put ourselves in. We didn't really have to, but we have, and now we find it's taking all of our time and all of our attention away from spiritual matters. Maybe it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus says that's what choked out the seed that was planted in the thorny ground, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Maybe it's guilt that you're carrying with you over a sin that was forgiven a long time ago, but for some reason you're still hanging on to that guilt. Or maybe you're hanging on to bitterness, something that happened a long time ago. Someone did you wrong back there somewhere, and you're just hanging on to that bitterness. What the Holy Spirit tells us to do is to lay those things aside. That means you let go of them. That doesn't mean you hang on to them. That doesn't mean you try to find a place for them in your life somewhere. You let go. You get rid of it. If we want to have enduring faith, there are some things we're going to have to let go of. There are some things we're going to have to cast off. So let's do that. Now, if we're going to have enduring faith, we're going to have to look to others. We're going to have to lay some things aside and continue with our text. We're going to have to refuse to doubt. We're going to have to refuse to doubt. And that's the point I want to make from this phrase. But the phrase is that we are to put off or to take off those things that weigh us down and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The English Standard Version says the sin which clings so closely. This is translated from a Greek word that only appears here in the New Testament, so that makes it a little more difficult to define and to really fully understand. But the idea is something that would cling to us and would pull us down. I think about the little green vines that like to grow around the flowers in our flower bed. And if we don't get rid of those things, they tangle themselves up in the flowers and choke them out and kill them. And so you've got to go and pull them up by the root, and you've got to untangle them and get rid of them, or they're going to wrap themselves around. And that's the way this sin is. This sin is that which will wrap itself around us and will pull us down, immobilize us. What is this sin? Well, obviously, any sin could do that to us. But I believe in the context of the book of Hebrews, it is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. If you back up to Hebrews at chapter 3, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's that danger. It's there. And then in a text we've already read, chapter 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what was happening with some of these Jewish Christians or Hebrew Christians. They were ready to quit on the Lord and go back to Judaism. And the sin which so easily tripped them up was the sin of unbelief. You know what? Unbelief is easy. In this world, living in this world, unbelief and doubt are easy. That's why it's essential that you and I strengthen our faith. Not neglect it, not take it for granted, but we need to strengthen our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to spend time in God's Word every day, reading it, but doing more than that, studying the Word of God. Digging into it, learning it. We need to, as Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, we need to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Exercise. Not just our bodies. Bodily exercise profits a little, Paul says. Godliness is profitable to all things. We need to exercise our faith. We need to attend every service that we can. Not the bare minimum, that every service that we can. We need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to associate with faithful Christians. We need to be involved doing good works, those good works that we've been created to walk in, helping others, sharing the gospel with others. We need to be exercising our faith, making it strong so that we can win that battle against that sin which so easily ensnares us. How easy it is to doubt. How easy it is to quit and to give up. There's something else the Holy Spirit tells us to do here in Hebrews at chapter 12 and at verse 1. We need to run. We need to run. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are to look unto others. We are to lay aside every weight. We are to cast off and overcome the sin that entangles us. We need to run. We are to serve the Lord. The best thing that we can do to maintain enduring faith is to stay busy serving God. Going back to chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, those faithful saints of old, they were busy, weren't they? Abel offered a sacrifice. Noah built an ark. Abraham left his home and journeyed and traveled. Moses led the people. Joseph was busy serving. in one capacity or another. They all show us, remember, we're to be looking to them as our examples. They show us that an enduring faith is an industrious faith and an obedient faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. You know, a lot of times when I go other places to hold gospel meetings, not every time, but a lot of times, the last personal comments that I'll make to the congregation, I try to include this verse, that this is what I want to leave with them as I'm leaving them and I'm coming back home. I leave them with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's true for us here at Knollwood as well. Not just places we visit, it needs to be true here that we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to run. The Christian race is a marathon. It's not a short distance sprint. I would like to think that I could participate in a short distance sprint. I can't run a marathon. I mean, maturity, one of the marks of maturity is you learn what your limitations are. I'm not a marathon runner. But I'd like to think if there was something mean enough chasing me, I could run a 50-yard dash. I could do that. But that's not the Christian race. The Christian race is not that short sprint through 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. And phew, I've served the Lord. No, it's a marathon. It's a marathon, so we keep running. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia who were being inundated with false teachers. Judaizers had come in to tell these Gentile Christians that, no, you need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses and trying to bind the law of Moses upon them. Paul writes and tells them, Galatians chapter 5 and at verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Why did you quit running? You want to have an enduring faith? You just keep running. You just keep running. If things get hard, if you're going through a valley, like we were talking about this morning in our 9:30 hour, run through it. But keep running. I think about that old Disney movie, Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. You know what? You reach times in your life as a Christian, and sometimes that's what you have to hold on to. You just keep running. You just keep doing it. That's how you have an enduring faith. You keep going. Let me ask, are you still running, or have you quit? Have you quit? Are you still in the race? We need to continue serving the Lord as best we can, even during the hardest trials that we face, knowing that if we'll do this, we'll finish the race with our faith intact. We may not have all the answers. We may not accomplish everything that we want to accomplish as Christians, but if we'll keep running and finish the race, we'll do so with our faith intact. So sometimes it does get just as easy as this. Just keep running. Keep serving the Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. What would the Holy Spirit have us to do to develop enduring faith? Run. Keep running. Then, in verse 2, the Holy Spirit tells us that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We don't run aimlessly, but we run with a goal, and we run after a leader. We run after one who has been there before, who is leading us and guiding us. Looking unto Jesus. The Greek text here means to look away from everything else and look only at Jesus. So the New American Standard Version renders this fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's not why I'm living the Christian life. And yeah, there's the Lord. I think he's over there. Yeah, he's still there. No. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus because guess where Jesus is leading us to? He's leading us to that home, that inheritance that we have in heaven. It's just beyond him. So if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, we have our eyes fixed on the goal. And we won't be moved aside. But every once in a while, I encounter Christians who, it's obvious, they don't have their eyes fixed on Jesus. They're following the world. They've gotten sidetracked somewhere. They're following the world. They're listening to the world. That's not going to get us to heaven. An enduring faith is a focused faith. And we're well into the generation that has about a 3-second attention span, right? If it's not animated and it's not right in front of our face, and if it's not busy loading, you know, if it's loading up, you'll forget it. No, we're in that long race. We need that patience. We need that endurance. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Like Peter walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. He did great as long as he was looking at Jesus, but what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He sank. And so let's look at Jesus. Let's stay focused on him. How do I do that? I believe it can be just this easy. You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you spend some time with Jesus there. You spend some time with Jesus, and you listen to what he has to tell you there. And you follow and you learn from his example there. That's how we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's how we follow after him today, staying focused on him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, we're likely going to get to this verse in our Wednesday afternoon study of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Jesus is the perfect example for us to follow. He suffered in his obedience unto God, but he overcame. He overcame, he endured, he remained faithful, which means we can too. But we need to follow his example. He shows us how to get through those dark valleys of life. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and then finally, the Holy Spirit tells us that we are to find joy in serving the Lord. Speaking of Jesus, the text says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now don't think for one minute that the text is hinting at the idea that Jesus enjoyed the cross. He didn't enjoy the cross. It was painful to him. The suffering was unimaginable. As we were looking in the previous hour in our study of Luke chapter 12, even before Jesus got to Jerusalem, he was already troubled over it. He was already distressed over what he would have to go through, but he made it through it because he looked beyond it. He looked at what it was going to accomplish. He looked at what it was going to bring about. And so for the joy that was set before him, the joy of being obedient to the Father, the joy of fulfilling the requirement of the law for an atonement for sin, the joy of conquering Satan and coming forth from the grave. What great joy that was, but what a terrible price had to be paid for it. He found the joy in serving the Lord. You and I, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make as a Christian. Are we going to complain about the negative, or are we going to find the joy and rejoice in the positive? What do you mean complain about the negative? There are some things about being a follower of Christ that are hard, right? Jesus makes that clear. He sets it forth right at the very beginning. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Denying self? Taking up the cross? That doesn't sound pleasant. Jesus says, that's right, but that's the price that you have to pay to follow me. Yes, there are some things about it that are difficult. Yes, Jesus says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, but it's still a yoke, it's still a burden. Are we going to complain about that? Or are we going to accept it and rejoice in the blessings? How are we going to develop that enduring faith? I haven't read anywhere in the Bible of someone complaining their way to heaven. Haven't found that yet. I haven't met anybody who's complaining their way to heaven. We can rejoice. We can sing as we're marching to Zion. But heaven is not a place for complainers. Heaven is a place for those who endure and are ready to rejoice. Complaints only lead to bitterness and discouragement and giving up. No, we need to rejoice. James says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Sometimes we have to go through those tough times. That's a way of developing our character, of strengthening our faith. If we're going to have a faith that endures, there are times it needs to be strengthened. So let's count it joy when we fall into those times. And let's rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. If we're going to have an enduring faith, we're not going to complain our way there. We're going to have to find the joy in serving the Lord. Let's wrap this up. But as we do, don't tune me out already. Let's wrap this up and let's think seriously about what the Holy Spirit has set before us here with this text. Our faith is too important for us to treat it carelessly. It's our faith that is going to see us through. It's our faith that's going to get us through those valleys. It's our faith that's going to allow us to stay grounded as we're up on the mountaintops and enjoying the great blessings of life. It's our faith that's going to see us through. And we know that an enduring faith is possible. We've got an entire chapter devoted to its heroes, Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible tells us how to develop that enduring faith. We've got to look to others for encouragement. We've got to lay aside those things that weigh us down. Are you hanging on to something? You need to let it go. We are to refuse to doubt God's promises. God has proven himself to be faithful. Run! It's that easy. Run. Let's stay focused on the Lord, and let's find the joy in serving Him. And if we'll do that, the Holy Spirit says that you and I will have an enduring faith. Heaven is there. It's a promise that is made to us all, but it's a promise that is made to those who have endurance. Let's develop an enduring faith. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. You need to become a Christian. Confessing your faith that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then start that journey. Get in that race by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized in water to have those sins washed away. You'll start running that race, but you're not running it alone. You're running it with all of the faithful. We're here to help you as you will be an encouragement to us. Maybe you've lost your way in this race, and you need to get back in, and you need to take care of that publicly. Or maybe you're overwhelmed, and you need our prayers to help you, to encourage you, maybe to help you to run for a little while as you get back on your feet. Whatever your spiritual need is, we have your best interest in heart. Would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?